kindly turn with me tonight to the Gospel by Mark. The Gospel by Mark, and in the first chapter. Mark's Gospel in chapter 1, and reading from verse 10. Straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan. Now verse 16 of the same chapter. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Chapter 3, please, and verse 5. When he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. Could we read another verse, please, in chapter 10? We'll refer to others, but just to give us a broad view of what we want to speak about. Chapter 10 and verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to all our souls. I would like this evening, by the help of the Lord and by the help of his gracious Holy Spirit, to try and interest you again in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was most moved when our brother Jim spoke at the conference time of Jesus walking. That moved me very, very much. I would like, if God gave us help and grace these evenings, first to speak this evening on the subjects of what he saw. And then if tomorrow evening, I would like you to see the connections and the context of where he sat. And we're going to look at that in detail. And then we'll look again on where he stood. And then in our final evening, I would like to look at the subject of what he said, or how he said it. And I'm sure that that would be very, very interesting for us all, just to listen to wisdom itself from the very lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're interested, you'll discover that in the Gospel by Mark, there is something like 16 times you'll read about what he saw, or that he looked. And you'll find these things very, very informative. Not that Mark has the monopoly of the seeings or sightings or lookings of the Lord Jesus, because there are some beautiful ones in Luke as well. And John, of course, has some, and we cannot speak of them tonight, but they are very, very moving, especially that one, that when Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him, what Jesus saw when he saw Nathanael coming unto him. And then when Jesus saw him lie at the pool of Bethesda, something touching about what he saw with all the cripples lying round about that place of the five porches. And then when Jesus saw her weeping, oh, that's John, when Jesus saw her weeping, and then when Jesus therefore saw his mother. Oh, those sightings in John are very precious. In fact, you could have an evening in any one of these Gospels on these things that he saw. But Mark is most particular. We read in chapter 1 and verse 10 that he saw the heavens open. Here is the servant of Jehovah. Here is the ox of Ezekiel's vision. Here is the laboring one. The first thing he sees is the heavens opened. You know, if we were talking about preachers, we would say he would need to have a sight for sinners. He would need to have an eye for his Bible. He would need to have some kind of eye for the saints. But really, my friend, the great thing in Mark is this, that he saw the heavens open. That is, that he was first cognizant of the pleasure of the Lord in his person. He saw the heavens open. He only sees the heavens open three times in the days of his flesh. He sees the heavens opened at the beginning of his ministry. He sees the heavens open in the midst of his ministry. And he sees the heavens open as he's nearing the end of his ministry. He sees the heavens open when he's down in the Jordan Valley. He sees the heavens open when he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. He sees the heavens open when he's standing preaching on the temple steps in Jerusalem. And these are the only three times that he sees the heavens open upon him. He sees the heavens open when he's commencing his public ministry. He still sees the heavens open in the midst of his public ministry. The heavens are still open to him as his ministry is coming to a close. Some see the heavens open at the beginning of their ministry. Some fall foul before they get to the midst of it. And very few men can say like Paul that he had finished his course with joy. But Christ knew the pleasure of heaven, and he knew the joy of the Father's smile in every facet of his service. You know, my friend, when he saw the heavens open, it was in an act of obedience. You know, baptism is an act of obedience. Not that he needed to obey, but we remember he did say, "Suffer it so to be." One of the Gospels, that's the first word that comes out of Christ's lips. Suffer. Suffer. You know, we don't think we're making progress unless we're smiling, unless we're successful, unless the sun is shining upon us. But to suffer, nature doesn't like to suffer. But nature must suffer if you're going to be spiritual, one thing or the other. That's why we're so odd. That's why we're so queer. It's because we would love both things. We would like to ride two horses at one time. We would love mammon, and we would love God too, but you know it doesn't happen that way. You know the way is suffer. You know the devil would give Christ a crown before a cross. The devil would give Christ a crown before the cross, and the devil would give you. He would give you a crown before the cross, but that cannot be. Paul cannot get third heaven without a thorn. You cannot come to glory apart through suffering. These are the ways of God. This is the teaching of the New Testament. If he suffered and went this way, we'll have to go away as well. But he saw the heavens open. The second time he saw them open in an act of devotion. Not only in an act of obedience, but in an act of devotion. Luke says it was when he was praying that the heavens were open. Oh, is praying irksome to you? Man's face that prays. You can nearly tell a man's face that prays. You know, my friend, it was while he was praying that the glory of God fell upon him. Oh, that the pleasure of heaven is seen in the man's life. What about the preaching? Ah, my friend, we treat the preaching too flippant. I'm going to have a word. I had a little word ready for the meeting. You would think that God was waiting on us, and some people think the saints are just nearly dying off their feet waiting on them giving a little word. Oh, my dear friend, I tell you this. The preaching should be the most serious never a man takes up, because he is representing the Lord. And when you stand up in the midst of the church, you're telling people that you personally had an unction of the Holy One. I would to God we would forget these wee words and little words and my small thoughts. You know, everything that comes from the Holy Spirit will be vast, will be great, will be acknowledged by all that are spiritual. And so he saw the heavens open. You know, in the same chapter, he sees something else. Something quite different. It's wonderful to see an open heaven. But you know, he's got eyes for other things as well. There are some people and they're looking for glossy things and starry things and tremendous, exciting, sensational things happening to them. But you know, the Lord sees heaven open, but the Lord sees ordinary folk. He saw fishermen. He saw one man casting a net. He saw another man working a net. A pair of men mending. And he saw it all. He saw a man standing on the lake casting an individual net, trying to catch it. He saw another man, and they were washing it. He saw other two men, and they were mending this. You see, the Lord saw them all. It just doesn't say that he saw them all together. No, he saw them all doing their own thing, their individual thing. It was all the one business of catching fish. But some people can cast that net. Some meetings are void of these kind of a people. I pity the assembly that hasn't got that individual that can forage and ferret out and fish for individuals. When no one's there, when no one hears them or sees them, they go after the souls of men. There's something big about that person. An assembly, I tell you this, that hasn't got a soul like that in the meeting, they'll soon go down. You need people that can cast the individual net. So there's men here washing nets. He sees it. You know, it's been a night where there's been nothing caught. And you know, if you don't catch anything, you're not so keen to wash the net again. But you know, if you don't wash that net, it'll be covered with weeds and barnacle and everything. And it'll be hard work drawing that net in. Added weight to it, if you don't clean that net. And even although you haven't seen a soul saved for a few weeks, you'll still have to keep the net clean. And you'll still need to keep the sanctification moving. Oh, it's one thing to clean the net after you've took a haul of fish out of it. It's another thing to keep cleaning the net when you haven't caught a fish at all. But he sees other two men, James and John, and that will mark them too. There's a depth in their ministry. They're mending the net. You know, I don't think these Galileans had an O or A level. I don't know what you call academic things here, but in our country you get your O levels, and then you get your A levels, and then you get away to the university after that. But you know, I don't believe that anybody up there in Galilee had too much brains. Do you understand? We've so much that we've nearly enough as could sell them nowadays. But there's one thing these men knew. They knew not to go out into the Lake of Galilee with a big hole in their net. They knew that that was folly. Now, with all the education we've had, and all the brains that's amongst us, why do we keep going on every Sunday night preaching with the big tears in the net? And we're not agreeing with one another. And some have no intention of ever agreeing with anybody. And why the fish slip through the net is because there's great big gaping holes in the net. And these men knew not to fish without the nets being mended. Is there people with things against others? Is it a doctrinal matter? Is it? Is it a serious matter? Is it a petty matter? Is it a family matter? You see, the interests of the assemblies are on our hearts. We don't want them to be the same 5 and 10 years after we come back again, the same old sixpences that we are just now. Now, I want to tell you this. There's lots of things in this life you'll need to forgive. I'll tell you why you'll need to forgive, because you need a lot of forgiving yourself. And if you haven't forgiven anyone about a matter, you've been living in unforgiven sin yourself. For if you don't forgive your brother his trespass, God will not forgive you. And one of the burdens of my life is this, that our meetings are filled with people that haven't forgiven other people, and yet are so much expecting to get forgiven themselves. I say this to you, my dear brethren. The Lord noticed a man working with a single net. That man could work away. He's watching up men that can wash these nets. Dirty old job. Nothing for it sometimes. This cleansing all the time. And these men that were patiently mending the net that was broken. He saw the heavens open, but he saw. What did he see? He saw potential apostles. He saw potential apostles. You know, my friends, would to God I could get this over to you. You know, every preacher that preaches like what I'm doing, I should see in the audience potential apostles. I should believe in my heart that there could be someone in this audience that would become a better and greater man than ever anyone that's graced this platform before. And you must agree that it wouldn't take any of our young people to be too spiritual to be better than us. The Lord saw. Do you ever preach with any hope in your eyes? Do you ever preach believing that God could raise up better men than ever we've heard about? Do you believe that those young people in the meeting could be better men than ever we've been? I'll tell you, if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't preach. I believe that God can raise up in every succeeding generation men for the times. Men like Phineas, men that can deal with moral matters and doctrinal matters. Well, that's what was really before us, wasn't it? The moral matter and the doctrinal matter of the altar. God can raise up. You young men, listen. We believe that were you to give your life to God, God would really raise you up. There are other matters that I've touched. He watched, he saw them. Why? Washing and mending. You know, all the others, the 16 of them in this chapter. We'll not finish them tonight, you know that, don't you? What I want to say to you is, it says when he saw their faith, the men that brought the paralytic, when he saw their faith. Now, I've touched that already, so I don't need to go into that again. And he saw Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. He saw him as the sovereign Lord, the sovereign that does what he likes, when he likes, where he likes, with whom he likes. He saw him, and he chose him, and he called him. He saw Levi when no one else would give him a passing glance. He saw him. The people in the meeting think you're a bit of an entity. You know, when I first came to the meetings, I don't know what the people looked at me for. I asked the silliest questions, prayed in the silliest ways, didn't understand the Bible reading jargon at all. Sometimes don't yet. But what am I saying to you? It's him that looks. It's him that sees. It's him that knows the potential. It's him that knew what Matthew was going to be to write 28 chapters of the kingship of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ and his coming glory. It's him that saw him sitting there where no one else would look at him. He saw him. He saw him. He's in the synagogue one day, and they've planted a man with a withered hand, and they're hoping that he'll heal on the Sabbath day. That man's planted in there. You know what I mean? I hope that's the right word for here. You know what I mean? They planted him in there to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. And of course, the wisdom of the Lord, is it right to do good or evil on the Sabbath day? He silences them. Oh, that's a night too. A night on how he can silence the critics. He silences them. He says to the man who's really Israel, you know that, don't you? It's really Israel. He says, put out your hand, stand forth fast, come out to the front. Well, we wouldn't invite people out to the front, would we? The Lord invited this man out to the front, out here. He says to him, "Stand forth. Would you stand forth with your withered hand?" It's one thing to stand forth, it's another thing to hear the next directive. "Stretch forth thy hand. Show to everyone your withered hand. Show to everyone your withered condition. Show to everyone that you can't hold things right, and you can't do things right, and whatever you do, you never can do it right." You a man like that? Have you a withered hand? Israel was withered. Before he cured that man's hand, it says he looked round about. Listen to these words. He was grieved when he saw the hardness of their heart. There's one thing worse than having a withered hand, and that's have a withered, weazened old heart that nobody can touch and nobody can move, not even God can move you or stir you. He looked around being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. Have you ever noticed that what you do for yourself, you do well? Have you ever noticed when you arrange your holidays, you make a rare job of the thing? Have you ever noticed that you can actually get the timings right, and you can get the plane to London, and London through, and all the place, and all the itinerary, it's all minute perfect? We can do that too. But when we come to anything for God, there seems to be a withered up old hand, and we're going to bow, you know? Put it out. You're never to be blessed till you expose your withered hand. You'll never get the blessing till you expose your deformity, till you expose your backslidden condition, your prayerlessness, your inactivity, your love to Christ. Expose it! Oh, don't expose it to me, because I'm a failure like you. I know what it is. But you can expose it to him. He's got soft eyes. He's got caring eyes. He's got lovely healing eyes. Show your withered hand to him. He's seen your heart. He's seen your life. There's nothing he doesn't know about you. Not just the outward, but the inward. Says, and he stretched forth his hand, and immediately it was made as whole as the other. Have ever you done any exposing of your weaknesses to the Lord? Have you ever brought to the Lord your prevalent sins? Have you ever looked in your own mirror and seen your own father and mother in your face? Have you ever seen all your family sins and all your hereditary sins and all the things that come up through in the blood? Have you ever seen those things that no one else knows about, that you keep hidden all the time? Oh, you're never to get on at all. Oh, when he saw the hardness of their heart. What he sees is most remarkable. Now, I know the time is gone. We touched on that other one. It says, and when he saw her that touched him. Oh, I would love the minute on that. When he saw her that touched him, then he seeth the tumult at the door of Jairus. And then when he's dividing the loaves and the fishes, it says, he looked up to heaven. You know, if I had 5,000 before me, my, I'd be getting all excited, you know. What a big crowd. I'd be wondering who would write about it in a magazine. You know, 5,000. He looked up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. You know, a man that's going to distribute to the people of God. He looks up to heaven. Oh, he looked up. You know, we've all got crises. Jim's got them. We've got them. You've got them. I know by your faces you've got them. And we're thinking this and that. You know, the means were meager, weren't they? Meager! Barley loaves and small fishes. But the look up to heaven. He looked up to heaven. Oh, these are the answers. These are where answers are really found. I'm going to leave this for the most of you to look into, and if someone else preaches on it, remember, it's not copyright. But, you know, when it comes to the children, I only picked that one out. There's many more. It says, and when he saw them, turning away the little children. He was much displeased. You know, big people, preaching people, adult people, we always think we're right in everything. He was much displeased because they put the children aside. I love this, that he never preached to the children. Says he touched them. And he blessed them. Touched them. Blessed them. You know, with little children, you could give some of those big sermons that you have and preach it down their throat and they wouldn't be any the better. You maybe better give them a little sweetie or something like that. What am I saying to you? He touched them. You know, in Luke's gospel, when he's dealing with all kinds, it says, when the sun was setting, they brought to him from every quarter, and he healed them all, and the revised is better. It says, he touched each one. You know, we've got our own notions what's right, and who should come, and who we would like to see saved, and who we would like to see blessed. But it says he lifted them up into his arms, and he blessed them. And he taught the great matter, that except ye become as a little child, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom. Oh, I'm sure you'll go home, underline them all, ring them all round, the things that he saw. Oh, I tell you, it's very, very important. Shall we pray? Our Father, we bless thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for what our ears heard tonight. We remember that there must come that separation before the Nazarite blessing is known. We remember that discipline must be passed before progress is made. O God, we thank thee for teaching us these great matters concerning Phinehas the priest. We thank thee for him, O God, that was as good with the javelin as he was with the censer. We thank thee, O God, for impressing us again. We remember that the zeal that he used was the zeal of the Lord with my zeal. We think of these things that the Savior saw, and we're struck tonight that he's even looking at this moment upon our hearts. We pray that our hearts might be enlarged. We pray, O God, that we might be the pure in heart. We pray, O God, that we might love thee with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. We pray that we might be conscious of his eye upon us. We pray that we bless the dispersing of the meeting and turn and go with us, Lord, we do pray, and remember us in other evenings. We pray that there might be something for all our souls in the meeting, in his worthy name. Amen.